So the court at this time is calling 13-19-354-CV. Magayan Terminals Holdings and Paul R. Wilson in his capacity as receiver for Mexam Export Import Corporation versus Hector Vargas. All right, Mr. Bryant, whenever you're ready to proceed, the court is ready to hear your arguments.
Thank you, Your Honor. As the court knows, the appellants are seeking reversal of a temporary injunction that the district judge entered on July 5, 2019. I won't repeat materials that we've set forth in the detail in our briefs, but I'd like to start by noting that from our point of view, the key issue on appeal concerns ownership of the terminal assets, that is the assets that are operated by ABC Gulf Coast Terminal LLC at the Port of Brownsville. And insofar as the ownership of the terminal assets is concerned, we think the key issue on appeal is whether the plaintiff, Mr. Vargas, is permitted to assert that he is or was the personal individual owner of those assets, as opposed to the assets being owned by his company, which is called one of his companies, Mexam Export Import Corporation, that I'll just refer to as Mexam. As the court is aware, I'm sure, my client, Magellan Terminals Holdings LP, obtained a now roughly $2.3 million judgment against Mexam in a case we filed in Harris County in December of 2016. That judgment,
Mr. Bryant, can I, real quick, I know there's some dispute about what was litigated in the Harris County case. Can you briefly clear that up about whether or not, or what it was that was litigated,
sure,
whether or not collateral estoppel applied?
Sure, I can, Your Honor. Let me start with this. The case in Harris County was basically a breach of contract action. That breach of contract action had to do with a terminal leasing agreement that Mexam obtained from my client Magellan, who operate a big petroleum storage terminal in East Houston. There was a breach of that contract. We litigated that case for roughly a year, hotly and heavily. In the end, Magellan moved for summary judgment. There was a hearing on that summary judgment, and Judge Larry Wyman in the 80th District eventually granted that summary judgment and entered judgment against Mexam.
Only Mexam, though, right? Just
yes,
the corporation.
Well, yeah,
right.
And other than, and then the turnover order, you know, that lawsuit did not concern this particular asset that were, that is the subject of this case.
No, that's correct, Your Honor. We, Magellan, in a post-judgment context, sought discovery to find out what Mexam's assets were. There was a long period of discovery requests, objections, and so forth, back and forth. Eventually, Mexam provided, through its counsel of record, Gregorio Trevino, a number of documents, including, I'm sure you've seen the references to this SAGE electronic accounting file, that was produced pursuant to a formal request for discovery that was contested, but ultimately produced to Magellan. After we received that information in the discovery process and learned what appeared to be the assets of Mexam, we filed a motion for turnover order pursuant to the turnover statute. That turnover motion requested that the court order a turnover of all of the non-exempt assets of Mexam that were reflected in its own financial statements, including the one that was produced to us electronically. This included specifically the what we've described in our papers as the terminal assets that are currently being operated at the Port of Brownsville. Those financial statements not only showed that Mexam was the owner of those terminal assets, but also, not surprisingly, that it had taken the depreciation expense related to those assets from time to time. So we asked the court to order a turnover of all of those non-exempt assets, specifically including the terminal assets, which appeared to be the most valuable asset that Mexam owned.
But doesn't Figueroa appear as, or he's claiming an ownership also in these assets that are part of this lawsuit, you know, so.
Actually, Your Honor, I don't think Mr. Figueroa claims a personal ownership interest. I think what he claims, along now with Mr. Vargas, is that the assets are owned by ABC Gulf Coast Terminal, that is an LLC of which he and Mr. Vargas are 50-50 members or owners.
And is that specified in the turnover order?
No, ma'am. The turnover order doesn't address any competing claims to ownership at all, because at the time we were not aware that there were any competing claims of ownership, whether by Mr. Vargas or by his other company, ABC Gulf Coast, or for that matter, by Mr. Figueroa. So to return to Justice Tijerina's question about what was litigated, after there was a motion for turnover order filed. Mexim was given 2 months notice, advance notice, before the hearing on that was set to occur.
Here's my concern, though. Does the turnover order establish ownership in a jurisdictional matter when, to me, the notice to all parties is not given, to whether it be Mr. Figueroa or anybody else, that their asset is being attached in a turnover order, and it's just Mexim?
I understand that question, Your Honor, and I'll answer it directly. No, I do not believe that the turnover order adjudicated
the rights.
I don't think it adjudicated the rights of ABC Gulf Coast Terminal or the rights of Mr. Figueroa. I think those rights are left to be adjudicated ultimately in a trial in this action. What it did adjudicate, however, was the right of Mexim, whether, because the court could not order, pursuant to the turnover statute, a turnover of the terminal assets unless the court concluded that Mexim was the owner of those assets. So as between Magellan and Mexim, there's no question but what that issue was fully and fairly litigated. In two respects, just before the hearing came up, Mexim decided to stipulate to the entry of that order, to the form of the order, to the substance of the order, including the fact that Mexim, as per its own financial records, owned the terminal assets. I drafted that stipulation. I provided it to Mexim's counsel of record. Mexim's counsel of record executed the stipulation and by doing so made a joint request to the court to find and enter an order stating that Mexim was the owner of those assets, which were non-exempt and should be turned over. On the basis of that stipulation, Mexim's counsel of record also signed and approved in both form and substance the turnover order that was presented to Judge Wyman pursuant to the party stipulation, and Judge Wyman approved that order and entered it. The issue we think is before this court, the primary issue, is whether or not, putting aside ABC's rights or Mr. Figueroa's rights, the question is whether Mr. Vargas, as the president and majority owner of Mexim, who had both the right to control the litigation and, according to the evidence, had knowledge and gave approval for his counsel record to sign the stipulation on behalf of the company, whether therefore Mr. Vargas is in privity with Mexim and is, as between us at least, is bound by the stipulation and the resulting court order that was entered in Harris County.
Would it be correct, just so we're clear, that any of those other companies that we're talking about, I know that there's ABC, and that I think there's another company as well.
There is.
Do any of those companies have an ownership that doesn't include Mr. Vargas?
No, sir. They do not. There are two companies that I'm sure you've seen in the record, in addition to Mexim. One is ABC Gulf Coast. That's a 50-50 LLC as between Mr. Vargas and Mr. Figueroa. Another company that is involved in the dispute is a Mexican company. ABC is a Texas LLC. Mm-hmm. There's another company that's a Mexican company called Asesoria, which is a a company owned between Mr. Vargas and his brother Randolfo. It's a Mexican company. And as you've seen, Mr. Vargas' contention is that it was Asesoría that borrowed millions of dollars that were used, funneled through Mexim, and ultimately used to build the terminal assets at issue. I want to be very clear that the appellants, are not contending here that the rights of any of those companies, to the extent they may claim an ownership interest, were foreclosed by the turnover order that was entered in the Magellan action. We do think clearly Mr. Vargas is bound by the stipulation that his company signed and entered into in the Houston case. And the problem with the temporary injunction is that Judge Magallanes incorrectly felt, and said so on the record, he felt that he didn't have jurisdiction to consider whether Mr. Vargas is collaterally estopped vis-a-vis Magellan or the Mexim receiver to claim personal ownership. He felt that, as he expressed, he felt that that question needed to be decided by Judge Wyman in Harris County. With all due respect to Judge Magallanes, that's just wrong. That turns collateral estoppel on its head. It's always the court in the second case where a party tries to change his position that must decide the collateral estoppel effect of a prior court order entered in the first litigation. So the court simply never, the district court here didn't consider collateral estoppel, made no conclusions about collateral estoppel, made no findings concerning collateral estoppel. And this is why I might add, when opposing counsel argues in his brief that this court should look at Texas Rule of Appellate Procedure 34.6C and deem that to be a showstopper, he's wrong, because he, with due respect to opposing counsel, he misperceives the nature of this argument. We are not arguing that Judge Magallanes lacked sufficient evidence to deny our collateral estoppel defense. It's not a question of sufficiency of evidence at all. Collateral estoppel is a threshold question of law, according to the cases, that has to be decided before you ever reach the merits of Mr. Vargas's factual contention that he is or was the owner of these assets.
So you believe we have a complete record to make a ruling?
Yes, on that question for sure. Mm-hmm. You do have a complete record. It includes the testimony of Gregorio Trevino, who was the lawyer of record, still is the lawyer of record, for Mexim in the Harris County case. I called Mr. Trevino to the stand. Mr. Trevino, to his credit, stated unequivocally that his client, Mexim, was provided a copy of the motion for turnover order that was filed in the Harris County case 2 months before the hearing. He testified unequivocally that he actually discussed the turnover order with Mr. Vargas and received Mr. Vargas' authorization to execute the stipulation on Mexim's behalf.
So what are you asking this court to do?
We're asking your honors to reverse the temporary injunction that Judge Magallanes entered.
But based on what argument?
And to dissolve it.
But based on the argument that he didn't rule, I mean, what is the... That's what I was trying to go around in circles as I read the brief. Are you saying that he was wrong in deciding the collateral estoppel, or he didn't sign the collateral estoppel issue, or what is the grounds? Because if it's just that he didn't get to the right issue, do we send it back to the trial court to decide the right, or can this court make that decision without sending it back?
To answer the last question first, yes, you can, and we submit that you should. Here's why. This is an issue that is a pure question of law, and the facts that are material to the application of collateral estoppel aren't disputed. There's no dispute that there was a final adjudication of Mexim's ownership in the Harris County case. The law is clear. That's a final appealable order. So So there's clearly finality to it. The record shows that there's privity between Mr. Vargas and his alter ego company, Mexum. He himself claims to be the alter ego, according to his testimony. So
let me ask
there
you
would be no reason to remand.
I'll ask you quickly then, if this court was to vacate the temporary injunction or reverse the temporary injunction, would there still be matters in controversy in the Brownsville case?
Very much so, Your Honor. Yes. There's going to be a need for trial of a number of different issues, including issues as between Magellan and Mexum's receiver on the one hand and Mr. Figueroa and ABC Gulf Coast on the other. So there will have to be a trial, no question about that, unless some party gets summary judgment, of course. Have I answered your question?
You did.
So just as a follow-up, but sure. Shouldn't... what a temporary restraining order, temporary injunction do is keep all parties equal until the remaining of the issue. Isn't it best then, as the trial court did, to say, okay, let's just freeze that while we decide all the other issues, as opposed
no.
to having it all go in different lanes?
Respectfully, no, Your Honor, and here's why. What we should not be trying in the district court is the question whether Hector Vargas himself has a personal interest in these terminal assets. That question is precluded as a matter of law. So that should be off the table. Once it is, there will be other issues to litigate between other
but
parties.
But do we take that, my issue is, do we take this at this point of the litigation, isn't that something that should be litigated at a summary judgment or at some point, and not at the procedural avenue that we're here, which is a restraining order.
If you'll allow me to trade on
yes,
a few minutes of my time here.
It's questions, so yeah. We will give you this extra time.
Fine. Here's the thing. Were the court to remand this collateral estoppel question to the district judge, we'd be right back at the point of beginning asking Judge Magallanes to decide an issue of law. This is not going to depend on a trial of the case. It's a threshold question of law whether Mr. Vargas can even assert personal ownership. So given the fact that this is a pure question of law, which this court might well have to review in any event, and since there is no dispute about the facts material to a resolution of that question of law, we see absolutely no reason for this court not to decide it. And then the case will go back downstairs for trial of the remaining issues.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If it may please the court, I heard some things today that I had never heard before in this case. The first thing I heard is that somehow the issue of the ownership of the terminal is not decided by this turnover order with respect to Mr. Figueroa or anybody else affiliated with ABC Gulf Coast Terminal, and that is absolutely not true, Your Honor. But I'm going to get back into that in just a second. I think it's important that the court get a proper perspective of what's involved in here and what this turnover is all about and how we got here, Your Honor, because I think it's really, really important what Mr. Bryant is saying, that he claims entitles Magellan to own a terminal that costs somewhere between $4 and $5 million to construct. And Your Honor, and one thing that is important to point out, that a lot of this evidence that you could have had a benefit to that was not brought up, and there was never a designation under Rule 34.6C of the Texas Rules of Appellate Procedure as to why it wasn't brought up and why it was not necessary. They're making up stuff as they go, right, Your Honor, because they don't know how else to react to that. But the bottom line is that evidence was critical on the issue of the ownership of the terminal. So anyway, let's find out exactly what happened. So the terminal, Magellan sues Mexam because Mexam leased a terminal up in Houston and didn't use it and didn't pay for it, allegedly. And they got judgment against him, right? Had nothing to do with the terminal down here. Right?
But, Counselor, why didn't Vargas intervene in that Magellan lawsuit, knowing that they were going after the assets of Mexum, which he now claims to have a personal interest in, or his Mexican company, I guess Asesorias, has an interest in? Why didn't he intervene in that lawsuit? And
because he did not understand, Your Honor, that he testified, and he did not understand that these terminal assets were in play, because those terminal assets, under his testimony, and all that testimony that you did not hear, see, showed that every penny that was used to construct that terminal came from Mr. Vargas, and none of it came from Mexam. And the little bit of money that came from Mexam to pay for the terminal was money that was deposited from Mr. Vargas's companies, from the loans that he obtained, in a Mexam account, because ABC Gulf Coast Terminal had not been created yet as a corporation, and so there was no account that could be opened for them. So because they didn't have a bank account, they took the money in Mexico, deposited it in a Mexam account, and then paid the bills for the construction.
But it's undisputed that Mexam owns this ABC company, which is the company that owns the terminal. Is that?
No, that's not correct, Your Honor. Mexam does not have any ownership interest in ABC Gulf Coast Terminal. The only two owners of ABC Gulf Coast Terminal are Mr. Vargas and Mr. Figueroa. That's it.
Right. But, counsel, I'm looking at Exhibit A1, which is the exhibit to the agreed order requiring turnover and appointing a receiver, and it does state the asset of Mexam being ABC.
That's exactly right. And let me go over that with you. If you look at page 32 of my brief, Your Honor, this is the SAGE document that he talks about that appears somehow in the financial records. And contrary to what he says, when he talks about depreciations being taken and all that kind of stuff, there was not one iota of evidence offered at any point, Your Honor, Your Honors, where, in fact, this document was used for IRS purposes, submitted to anybody and under any formal proceedings. This document is what he bases his own the argument of ownership interest. And if you look at that document, one of the things that really just jumps out at you, it says, it's got values. It says, this is an asset, he claims, an asset of ABC, of Mexam. He will tell you right now, ABC Gulf Coast Terminal, Gulf Coast Corporation, is not an asset. Yet, it's listed as an asset here. But here's what's even more important. If you go down the list, it says storage tank, $3,748,310.82. There is one storage tank on this terminal. Storage tank two, $2,884,663.58. There does not exist a storage tank number two. It has never been built. So what Mr. Bryant did is he took this SAGE document that was a document that was in internal files that never got filed with anyone. And on that basis, he convinced Mr. Gregorio Trevino to agree to a stipulation and ultimately sign an agreed order that, in fact, this terminal, and he could have listed everything else here, half of the stuff of the value here doesn't exist or
okay.
did not.
I understand that there may be some interpretation as to whether this asset is now correctly listed in the turnover order. But isn't the Cameron County now obligated to follow that order, and the attack of the order should not occur in this case? I mean, it sounds like you're attacking the order of being incorrect and mistake, which is fine, but the trial court in Cameron County has to follow that order, that turnover order, whether it was wrongfully done by whomever, by Mr. Vargas because he didn't understand, or by Mr. Trevino because he didn't fully understand.
Well,
what
Your
he
Honor,
wasn't agreeing to.
If the court applies the principle of collateral estoppel, and Mr. Bryan is telling you that in fact it doesn't affect ABC Gulf Coast Terminal, well, that's on its face just flat incorrect. That is not what he filed with the court. If you take his filing with the court in Houston to its complete logical conclusion, what he told you up here is false. He told you that Mr. Figueroa, his lawyer is sitting back there, that Mr. Figueroa's interest is not affected. That is false. He's just told you this asset of ABC Gulf Coast Terminal LLC that's listed there with a value of $163,344, he lists that as an asset of Mexam. And that is part of the turnover order. He has already decided that all of ABC Gulf Coast Terminal that is owned one half by Mr. Figueroa is owned by Mexam. That the point of, that I'm making, Your Honor.
Isn't that for the receiver to determine?
Your Honor.
When he gets a hold of the assets and he understands that Mexam maybe doesn't own 100% but owns 25%, and then they work out some type of deal to satisfy the judgment? He can't take Mr. Figueroa's assets.
Well, there's two parts to that, Your Honor. First of all, the question is, did Judge Magallanes have jurisdiction to make an independent determination of whether or not who the true owner of Mexam was? The issue there is, did he have jurisdiction to do that? They never filed a plea to the jurisdiction that they asked for a hearing on. They never did. So the judge heard the evidence, heard tons of evidence. There was 3 days of evidence, 2 of the days you don't have because they didn't want to bring it up to you. They did not bring up the evidence that showed who paid for this terminal and then how and Mexam was involved.
Well, Mr. Hinojosa, you know, in your brief, you go to great lengths to talk about how Mr. Vargas put his own money into Mexam, but isn't Mexam a corporate entity?
No, he put his own money into ABC Gulf Coast Terminal.
I thought Mexam checks were written for...
There was some Mexam checks that were written, but the money, there was no dispute on any of this testimony that you did not get. Every penny that came into this Mexam account for the construction of the terminal, this is undisputed.
But isn't that how things work? I mean, don't you form a company and then you have to either put your own money in it or you borrow money to put into it so that you can have the benefits of the corporate entity? You can't just then say, no, that's my money, even though I put it into a corporate entity.
Yeah. But Mexam was
is that a true statement? I mean,
it depends on how you look at it, Your Honor. In this instance, Mexam was a company that was in business doing something else. It was an asphalt. It bought and sold asphalt into Mexico. And that was a company that Mr. Vargas was one of the owners of. That company existed, had nothing to do with ABC Gulf Coast Terminal. What happened was, when they got together to Mr. Figueroa and him, and this is all part of the evidence that you did not hear, when they got together to build this, to make this company, Mr. Vargas' portion of the obligation here was to go borrow the money and get the money to pay for it. When he borrowed the money, they had not formed ABC to make this terminal that was going to go under ABC Gulf Coast Terminal. They had not formed the corporate structure of ABC Gulf Coast Terminal. So what they did was, in order to pay for the construction, they paid for a lease, they paid for the construction, they did a lot of stuff went into this construction. The money that they borrowed, some of it was paid directly from asesoría accounts that were in the United States for the construction. Some of it, about a third of it, was paid into a bank account that Mexam had in order to pay for this actual construction. It is undisputed that every single penny that was paid out of the Mexam account was money that had come in from Mexico into that account to pay for the terminal. So,
but counsel, there are documents like the sales agreement that where Vargas represents that Mexam is the owner of the terminal assets.
Well,
how do you get around that?
Well, Your Honor, I think the testimony on that was that those documents were all created for purposes of from some tax issue that they thought that they were going to run into.
For whatever reason they did it, they did it. And your client represented that this terminal asset was an asset of Mexam.
Well, Your Honor, but that's a factual issue that Judge Magallanes took into consideration. That's not an issue that was ultimately the deciding issue with respect to who owns his terminal. The point is, is a turnover order collateral estoppel to an independent determination for Mr. Magallanes to determine who owns the asset?
And let me ask you this now. Chronologically also, wasn't the lawsuit, the Vargas lawsuit, filed before the turnover order was signed, correct? Wasn't there...
I'm not sure about that.
I was trying to create a chronology, and my understanding was that the Vadagas lawsuit was filed before the turnover. An issue you don't raise in your brief.
I'm not sure. I was not involved at all in any of this turnover stuff. That was another lawyer, Mr. Trevino. There was a lot of evidence there from him where he stated he was all over the place. When I took him on cross-examination, he stated that he didn't know whether Mr. Vadagas understood what was in that turnover order. Mr. Vadagas never signed anything. He didn't sign the stipulation. The discovery that he propounded where these answers were provided, they're required to be certified by Mr. Vadagas. They were never signed. Mr. Vadagas testified that even Mr. Trevino testified that Mr. Vadagas doesn't read or write in the English language, and so that he never translated them to him, Your Honor. The issue is...
But you're not saying that Mr. Vargas is an unsophisticated actor here. I mean, he's borrowing $8 million from Mexican banks and building terminals and...
Your Honor, I'd love to get into that, but that's not part of the record. But the bottom line, Your Honor, is that Mr. Vargas did not... He testified that he did not know that Mr. Trevino was agreeing to determine that this SAGE order that's completely incorrect... was the evidence of that the terminal was owned by Mexim and therefore now owned by Magellan. And you know, one of the things that's important, Your Honors, is that Mr. Bryant tells you some things that are not correct. He's saying that that there will still be a factual determination by a jury in this case on this issue. That's not what he's coming to tell you.
The concern I have with that, Mr. Nosa, is that if there is still the determination that other people may own some part of this asset or not, and if we take Mr. Bryant's argument correct, that that is going to be decided later on, isn't the right step to do to stop this injunction and now and let the trial court decide all those issues at once? I'm concerned about the piecemeal of this case. I'm also concerned that we're deciding a collateral estoppel issue before the trial court has decided it. Do you agree that the trial court did not decide the collateral estoppel issue?
What I think that the trial court decided was that that the probability of the merits was that he found that the terminal was not owned by Mexam. That's what he made a statement. Mr. Bryant doesn't give you the whole statement in there. He made a statement. He said, look, I heard the evidence. It's abundantly clear to me that this terminal was built with resources from Mr. Vargas and that Mexam did not build this terminal, and that Mr. Vargas, or through ABC Gulf, in his ownership of ABC Gulf Coast Terminal, is actually the owner, half owner with Mr. Figueroa of the terminal. That's what he made
a
determination.
Mr. Earlier you said that Mexam was a company that was formed to import and export asphalt.
That's right.
From the United States to Mexico, and that it had nothing to do with the terminals, but then Mexam entered into an agreement with Magellan for the lease of a terminal in Houston. Is that right?
Mexam entered into an agreement with Magellan to leasing a terminal owned by Magellan.
In Houston.
Yeah.
For the kind of the same business purpose as the terminals in Brownsville.
I don't have a clue of what that was for. I was not part of that lawsuit, Your Honor. It was what was going to be put in these tanks. I don't know. That's not something that I've been involved in at all with, Your Honor. But here's the point. Saying, Judge.
So if what the record is clear that there is now evidence on whether Mexam owned this asset or not, or whether Mr. Vargas has an interest or any other entity has an interest in it, isn't the trial court in this case so bound by a finding of that turnover order that's, for right or wrong, has now said that this is an asset of Mexam, and that's what unfortunately we are bound by?
That's what Mr. Bryant is asking you to determine.
That's correct.
Yeah, when he said that that's still going to be litigated in the trial court, that's not correct. What he's telling you, that as a matter of law, based upon this turnover, based upon this sage sheet that's absolutely incorrect, that was created and submitted to the court, that Mexam owned the terminal and therefore by based on the turnover order, Magellan now owns the terminal. That's what he's saying. You can't parse that up. That's the bottom line.
Well, so usually when you get a turnover order and then you go submit it in the county that has assets, then other people who may have an ownership asset can intervene and say, you can't collect because I own a percentage of this asset. And isn't that what that Cameron County case is supposed to litigate? I.e., no one owns this. No one is dividing this asset until the trial court in Cameron County decides who owns it.
Right, Your Honor. But the court is...
Then the temporary restraining order has to be correct because no one needs to move forward until that ownership is decided.
Well, Your Honor, but Your Honor, if you look at the exceptions to the collateral estoppel, they apply in this case, Your Honors, because if the...
Okay, let me stop you there. So do you agree with Mr. Bryan, at least to the extent that you two may to agree, that this court has to decide the ultimate issue now of the question of law of whether collateral estoppel applies?
I think that what he's asking you to do is whether or not, as a matter of law,
right,
that the ownership of the terminal was established through the turnover order. And that then will bind the trial court in Brownsville.
Okay.
That's it. And that's, I don't think there's any dispute about that. That is an issue that is not going to be tried in the district court. It's going to be decided. And what I'm saying, Your Honor, if you look at the exceptions that we set out to collateral estoppel in the restatement second of judgment, section 28, this should not be determined to be collateral estoppel because it was not fully and fairly litigated because of the fact that as I point out to the court, if you take that information that he's using as proof that this turnover order is that this terminal is part of the asset of Mexam, how can that be right when his information is wrong?
But counsel, I mean, looking at the actual turnover order, says defendant shall turn over to the receiver all non-exempt assets of defendant, including but not limited to the assets described in attached Exhibit A1. And then you go to Exhibit A1, and there is ABC listed as an asset. And so I understand that the bottom part even of this exhibit is vague, to say the least. But, I mean, they do list this company in specifically. Now,
that's right.
Again, you know, you might have an action against the attorney who signed this, but isn't your client bound by the agreement entered into by his attorney?
No, Your Honor, because this falls within the exception of collateral estoppel as stated in restatement. That's the point I'm making. Ordinarily, you take an order from a prior court on a factual determination, and yes, that would ordinarily be a collateral estoppel, but this case is replete with examples of why the exceptions apply, and we discussed that in our brief, Your Honor. But if you take the last one, is the trial court has discretion to apply collateral estoppel when it would be unfair to do so. That's a case of Cisco Food Services versus Trapnell, a 1994 Supreme Court case, by the way, of which I wrote the opinion in the Court of Appeals that was not accepted by the Court of Appeals, but they affirmed the decision anyway, which was that you should not apply collateral estoppel when it's not fair to do that, when it just, you know, everything that you look at is not fair. In this case, there was a lady died as a result of being of eating peanuts at the Corpus Christi Naval Base, right? And there was a Tort Claims Act litigation without a jury that made a determination that item was not there when she ate, and she was not able to get a determination from a jury, and the Supreme Court said, that's not fair. You can't do that. We're just not going to apply collateral estoppel. That's what you have here, Your Honor, where you clearly, it is based upon the abundance of the evidence that was offered there, it is absolutely clear that this terminal was not owned by Mexam. And so why should you apply a collateral estoppel when you know, I've already showed you that this SAGE order is not correct. It half the value, half the things that are there didn't exist. And yet that's what they based the turnover on? How is that fair? How is that just? This is a perfect example of why collateral estoppel shouldn't apply there. And under the restatement, it is valid for this court to make that determination.
Thank you, Mr. Enhosa.
Thank you.
Wait, let me just ask you one quick question.
You're allowed. You can expand as much time as you want.
Figueroa or any other party requesting relief in regards to an injunction? I mean, did Figueroa appear? I didn't see that.
Figueroa was there. Figueroa stood up, hit through his lawyer, and said, we do not agree that the terminal is owned by Mexam.
They benefit indirectly by this injunction or this injunctive relief.
Of course, okay. Yeah.
Your Honor, thank you.
Thank you.
Just a couple of quick points, if I may. On the question of full and fair litigation, the Texas case law couldn't be clearer that if a party enters into a stipulation, a settlement agreement, or even just a stipulation as we have here, that is used by a court to support the entry of an order, that's full and fair litigation. You don't have to have a jury trial to constitute full and fair litigation. So I think what in the end, as we see it, where Mr. Vargas winds up is to suggest that somehow there's something unfair about applying, well-established collateral estoppel law here. But to a point that you made, Justice Hinojosa, Mr. Vargas and his company had options. If in fact, and there's no record of this, but if in fact opposing counsel is correct that there was some reason to question the accuracy of Mexam's financial statements, which again they produced to us, not vice versa. If there was some reason to question that, Mexam and Mr. Vargas had plenty of options. Number one, don't enter into the stipulation that says Mexam owns them, as all of your records indicated. But if you think that's not right, then don't sign the stipulation. Number two, if you believe that there has been an error in the court order, you come back to the court in Harris County and you ask the court to reconsider. If you say, well, wait a second, that order is incorrect because these are not Mexam's non-exempt assets, you ask the court to reconsider. Failing all else, if Judge Wyman doesn't reconsider the turnover order that he entered pursuant to your own stipulation, you appeal because the Texas law is clear. A turnover order that has this kind of relief granted in it is an appealable order. So you could appeal to the Court of Appeals, to the 14th Court of Appeals, if you felt aggrieved. So he had plenty of options. All that happened here, to be blunt, is that, and you were right, Justice Hinojosa, the order of events was Mr. Vargas filed three different petitions in the Cameron County case, all taking the position that Mexam is or was the owner of the assets before the turnover order was entered in Harris County. Three different times he said that. The only thing that changed was after the judge in Harris County entered the turnover order pursuant to Mexam's signed stipulation, Mr. Vargas changed his position. And so 2 months after they entered that order, instead of asking for a reconsideration in Harris County, he goes to Cameron County, files a new pleading, brings the receiver and my client in and says, holy cow, Hector Vargas owns these, not Mexam. So we're not supposed to turn over anything. I think that just turns fairness on its head. What's fair is that if you have a lawyer of record who signs a stipulation on behalf of the party, and knowing full well, and in fact jointly requesting, that a district court in Harris County enter a turnover order pursuant to that stipulation, look, if it's not fair to enforce that according to Texas law, I don't know what is. If you say all you have to do to avoid the legal effect of that kind of a stipulation is to go back to a court you perceive to be friendlier and say, King's X, it doesn't count. Well, I mean, that's turning fairness on its head.
Mr. Bryant, I do want to clear one thing up, because sure. I heard Mr. Hinojosa say that what you're asking for is that they turn over the assets to Magellan. But isn't really what you're asking for that they turn the assets over to the receiver, and
sure.
then the receiver's duties and responsibilities come into play?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. In the 30 seconds I have left, I just want to return to the concern that Justice Benavides has expressed a couple of times, and that I understand. I want to speak to this issue of remand or no remand very practically. What will happen, what would happen, if this court didn't decide, again, as between these two parties, Mr. Vargas and Magellan, the collateral estoppel issue, what would happen is we go back down to the district court, we would make this argument on both sides, Judge Mangianis would make a ruling. That ruling, whoever it agrees, is going to be appealed at some point. That's just a given. The problem is, if, as I frankly expect, Judge Mangianis were to deny the collateral estoppel effect, we're going to waste an enormous amount of time trying an issue that Mr. Vargas is not entitled to try vis-a-vis us. We consumed 2.5 days of testimony on the first go-round, and that was without a jury in the box. So, as a practical matter, Your Honor, not only do I think the court has the absolute right to decide this pure question of law, it really must do so in order to avoid putting us all to an enormous burden that we shouldn't be put to, and winding up right back in Your Honor's court asking you to decide the issue. Thank you very much for your attention.
Okay, the court will be in recess until further notice.